From the time he took up the game of football, Joe Montana has been initially overlooked. Not blessed with prototypical size for a quarterback, his skill and understanding of the nuances of the game overcame any perceived shortcomings. In his new biography of the Hall of Famer, Montana, the biography of football's Joe Cool, author Keith Donovan follows the life and career of one of the game's all-time greats. Joe Montana is one of only three quarterbacks to win four Super Bowls and did so in less than a decade's worth of seasons. A two-time league MVP, he became the signature player of the NFL landscape throughout the 1980s, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Keith Donovan to the program this morning. Keith, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, good to be with you.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to the subject of Joe Montana? You write a lot about college football. What brought you to Joe Cool?
Interesting. You know, I just, in looking around what I was going to do next, of course, I've written about Bear Bryant. I've written about an Alabama football team in the 60s. I've written about Bart Starr and a couple other things. Found that, first of all, Montana is a very interesting story on the surface. And once you start looking deeper, it gets incredibly interesting, I think. And secondly, there had not been a serious biography done on Montana, and I thought it was time to do it. It's kind of that simple.
When you look at this story as a whole, were you able to find out what made this guy, what makes this guy tick? And was that a challenge in finding that out?
That's always a challenge. That's the trick, I think, of one of the tricks of good biography. Is trying to get in somebody's head, trying to really understand them to the extent that you can. And I believe so. I think despite the fact that, you know, he's known as Joe Cool, and he had this almost indescribable ability to tune out the noise that was around him and to perform at a high level regardless of the pressure that was being felt by other people, he was driven by something that seems the antithesis of that. And that was this incredible competitiveness. It was in him from a very early age, cultivated by his father, by the circumstances of growing up in, you know, blue-collar Western Pennsylvania, and it never left him. It became this defining force in his life, and despite the fact that he always seemed impervious to all the pressure and everything, he put an awful lot of pressure on himself to succeed. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think the interesting thing, you know, we will always remember, those of us who were lucky enough to have seen Montana play, we will always remember him in kind of a heroic glow because of the circumstances of the way that he played. You know, the fact that he always, you know, seemingly always was under the gun and more often than not led the Niners and indeed the Chiefs out of a big hole. And so because of the circumstances, it really made him even more heroic.
You mentioned his father a moment ago, and you write about this in the book. Really, three people who were influences. Of course, his father, very tough, very demanding. His high school coach, who challenged him quite a bit on his level of commitment, and ultimately his college coach at Notre Dame. These three men had an extraordinary impact on his life.
And, of course, you'd have to add Bill Walsh into that as well.
Yes.
But absolutely. The father, you know, you think about it. You know, anyone who has children, it's so difficult to get it right if you have a gifted son, to get the balance right of to encourage them without pushing them or to push them without pushing them away. There's no doubt that Montana's father pushed him really, you know, relentlessly when he was a young person. But for whatever reason, he got it just about right. He didn't push him so hard that he pushed him away. And part of the dynamic there, of course, was that he had a high school coach who's kind of the personification of the gruff, very demanding high school coach of that era that was, you know, beginning to change. And Joe was a challenge to his authority, not in an overt way. But it's a guy who he didn't want to be 100% football player. He wanted to play basketball and baseball, too. He was very multi-talented. His high school coach, Chuck Abramsky, did not appreciate that. And so that created this tension. With Dan Devine at Notre Dame, he just didn't get Montana for whatever reason. Montana was not a good practice player in those days, particularly at Notre Dame. And Devine just could not see that for the longest time, that as one of his teammates said so well, that, you know, once the scoreboard starts to glow and we start keeping score, Montana's a different guy. And Devine couldn't see that for the longest time. And so for the longest time, he didn't believe in Montana, really until desperation forced his hand.
And when he then went into the pros, it is really a learning experience of what he went through at Notre Dame that helped propel him as well.
Absolutely. Here's a guy, you know, he just came in at the right time, for one thing. I think if you could say two things about that situation, when he gets to the 49ers and Bill Walsh has been hired, if Bill Walsh isn't the guy to tutor him and to create the right framework for him, maybe we aren't talking about Joe Montana at this point. The inverse, however, is probably also true, and this never gets any credit, never gets any attention. The fact that, you know, if Montana isn't there to prove the viability of the West Coast offense, if it's a guy like Steve DeBerg, who was already on the team at that point, maybe Bill Walsh doesn't survive. So they really needed each other, and the West Coast offense obviously was very counterintuitive at that point, and really changed football dramatically.
In writing this story, you do write about the back surgery that nearly ended Montana's career. Talk a little bit about the surgery and what impact it had, not only physically but mentally.
I think it was really a defining moment in his life. I actually opened the book talking about the moment at which he injured himself in 1986. It was the opening game of the 86 season against the Buccaneers. And he felt something in his body pop, and that was the beginning of what he had torn in his back, and he required back surgery. And it, frankly, it was touch and go as to whether he would even be able to return again. His doctor told him that he was crazy if he played football again. Well, at that point in his career, Montana had two Super Bowl rings. He was already the most efficient passer in the history of the NFL. He was considered one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that point, but he was not Joe Montana yet, the Joe Montana venerated by history. What happens is, of course, that he comes back in 55 days from that surgery, comes back like a ton of bricks. It's amazing how good he was when he came back. And that really was the beginning of, I think, the greatest second act in the history of the National Football League, because Joe Montana, for about the next 4 years, was just incredible.
What is fascinating about his career is how many people now look up to him as the gold standard. And I guess the question is, will we ever see a player like that again?
It's hard to say. I tend to write books at the collision of sports and culture, so the backdrop is very important in my line of work. You know, writing about the 70s and 80s, it's a very particular time in the history of the National Football League and the history of the country. I'm not sure that we will see a player like Montana who have the impact that he had, and also deal with the fact that his legend was cumulative. In a way that a lot of players didn't experience, time after time after time, until he got into the latter stages of his career, he was the underdog so frequently. He's no Marino, okay, and on down the line. But when he finished, the feeling that he was the greatest ever to play the game was widespread. And personally, I don't think you can put that label on him, because I think it's impossible to say who the greatest quarterback of all time is. We're in a book about Bart Starr in which, we looked at that. But I'm not sure that we will ever see a player like Montana dealing with the situation that he had, coming out of nowhere and revolutionizing the game the way he did.
The name of the new book is Montana, the Biography of Football's Joe Cool. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Keith Donovan, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, good to be with you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.